Bank of Cardiff, this is Kyle.
Hey Kyle, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, how about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good myself.
That's good.
This is Malcolm, sent me an email.
Oh, this is Malcolm? Hey Malcolm, how's it going? You're with Warhorse, right?
Yeah.
Alrighty, yeah, I was just calling. Hold on 1 second, let me pull up your file here real quick. That way I know what I'm working with. Bear with me here for just a few more seconds. How was your weekend over there?
Great, man.
That's good.
Loving it.
Alrighty, well, yeah, I was reaching out to you. I saw you called in and spoke with Nicole here early September, looking for maybe a couple trailers and maybe get some extra cash there for some, like, just purchasing power, that sort of thing.
I did, but you guys said y'all couldn't help me, so I was just trying to see what y'all had different that you might have this time. So since then, I bought a trailer. Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, my truck is on the way to jump off and go to Las Cruces. But, matter of fact, right now, I just got an email from Lone Star. We got some lanes open for UPS. So, now if y'all got some kind of way that y'all could work with a guy, I ain't no startup company, but only have one truck on the road and I got a mini float, if you know what that is.
I'm not too sure. What is that?
A mini float is a 40-foot flat deck to do hot shot with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, alrighty. So, what might you be interested in if you already got your trailer set up?
Well, because I've got another friend who has about 12 lanes. He needs some help. And I've already got two other drivers that's CDL OTR drivers right now. Only thing is right now, I just need I want to purchase one more truck, and I don't even have to buy a trailer. They got what they call hook and drops, or you use their trailer. So if I could go along those lines, buy another freight liner, already look at some more freight liners that's already been DOT ready to run. I just need to pick up the equipment to start moving more freight and make more money.
Now, of course. Have you already located the freight liner you're looking for?
Yeah, most of them are here in Shreveport, Louisiana. They're close to me. In big companies, after they run about anywhere from 400 to 600,000 miles on one, I guess it's a big tax write-off for them.
Yeah.
So I print off about 10 or 15 of them to look at, but.
Okay. No, yeah. What's the price range usually spreading out for those things there?
Well, the ones I looked at, they start out around $25,000 and go up to about $48,000, $50,000. I didn't want to, me personally, I don't want to buy no $70,000 truck, even though it'll make money. I look to spend somewhere between $25,000 to $43,000, and that way I know I got a good piece of equipment. And I can make my money back, say, within a year's time. Yeah.
Okay. So you're looking at a pretty good return on your investment then there, make you a little bit of money then.
Well, the thing is this, is that right now I got one truck on the road and he ain't really running hard. So he averages about anywhere from 12. We ran one load with the Oregon. It paid out right about $5,000. So somewhere between 12 to 15,000 a month, and that's running easy, not hurting yourself.
Okay.
So with two trucks and running pretty good, especially like right now, UPS been hit hot season, they've been pushing real hard. Two trucks to make, I want to say $25,000 to $30,000 a month, and that's what I'm trying to. But I'm not. I always take things on the bottom side. I always take the low side for the most part. That way I don't sell myself short.
Yeah, of course. Smart way to do it.
That's why I won't buy another trailer, because now that I realize more about what the business is out there, you don't really have to buy a trailer. It's easier to buy a truck and lease a trailer or rent a trailer and have a tax write-off first time I own it.
Okay. All righty. No, yeah, well, so a little on the truck then you're looking. Are you looking for one that has a sleeper with it?
Oh yeah, that's mandatory, man. You can't, you can always buy, you can always park it during the daytime, but you can't put a guy on the road and expect him to be on the road for 3 or 4 days a week at a time, and then he doesn't have anywhere to sleep. That's against the law.
Okay, so you guys are going across state lines then, it sounds like.
Oh yeah, we cross the state lines.
Oh, right, that's perfect.
I mean, look, I got my own authority. I mean, this, since 2014, so first I was running hot shot, now I'm doing over the road. And so, yeah, like I said, the man, he done been to what, Oregon, Utah, he's in Colorado now with a load, getting ready to go to Las Cruces, New Mexico. So, yeah, man, the only way you can really make some money is you really, well, I can see you got to cross the line, because I just retired from the National Paper. So okay. I can go in the logging if I just really want to stay home.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't really do logging either.
No, yeah, no. That's a rough one to get into, huh?
No, really, it's good money. I got a cousin just bought 3 trucks. So I got another cousin who got 4 trucks.
Okay.
Of a pot, got 3 trucks. I got a cousin and wife's son got 3 trucks. So logging is good money.
Yeah.
It's just to make sure you got a good driver and make your money during the dry season.
Okay. So
when it rains a lot,
yeah,
it cuts off your work. You know, because in the paper mill, sometimes they don't accept no more than say 400 loads of logs a day.
Really?
400 loads may seem like a lot of loads to a lot of people, but you run an operation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's not a lot of paper.
Yeah, that's really not too much right there. Why do they put that limit on it like that?
Well, sometimes after you get so much pulp, wood cut, excuse me, where you got a backlog of paper on the floor, uh-huh, where companies are not moving. And what happens is that once you get so much stock on the floor and you can't ship it, because sales have slowed down, then what there is just taxes that the company had to pay.
Okay.
And what it costs a lot of money for them to move the paper. We have to have drivers come in. I'm talking about bobcat drivers, clamp truck drivers, to come in and load up boxcars in the cars and put it on the rail system and get it off the floor to have it moved away from the docks for a day or two, and then once the audit is over, then you have to bring it back to the docks, unload it. So I mean, they save money as far as the taxes are concerned, but it costs for them to have to try to get enough workers on overtime to come out there to do that, to save them that taxation. So,
oh, okay.
It's just a numbers game, but you got to understand how the numbers game work in the paper industry. But anyway, I decided I don't want to do logging. It's too much starting and stopping, hard snatching on your truck. And I don't want to be dealing with the fact of, you know, being in and out of the woods, ripping, tearing up stuff. I see guys snatch tanks off their truck because it's too low or too deep. Brake kingpins, you know, it's just a lot of extra maintenance that if you don't understand what it costs to keep a truck running, you can run yourself in a ditch.
Yeah, easily. I can see how that can happen pretty quickly. So, okay. And then, so are you, you're the 100% owner, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, and then are you drivers, owner, operators, or do you supply the truck? So you supply the trucks and they drive them for you?
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because I will drive, but I am a CDL driver too. But
oh, you are?
Okay. I did that, so I would be able to know what it took to drive a vehicle, and also if something happened, well, you know, companies like Schneider and all the companies hire people, and then once they hire them, they get out there on the road and quit, and leave them way out. I want to make sure I cover myself for that.
Of course.
But I don't just hire people. Everybody I got is on contract. You can quit.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's a smart way to do it. How many people you got all together then right now?
Well, right now, just me, my wife, and this other guy on the road. I got one guy named Harvey Chasen. He's waiting for me to give him an okay. He's driving right now for another company, but they won't let him drive enough. In other words, once you get 2,500 miles, 2,800 miles a week, they want to shut you down. Well, That's not how I operate. The way I operate my system is that I don't pay you by the mile. I pay you a percentage of the freight. It inspires a guy to drive better, drive safely, and produce.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, more efficient that way then.
Yeah, that way if you don't make the money for me, you don't make the money for yourself. So if you make money for yourself, you make money for everybody.
Yeah, a smart way to run the business. Probably a lot less hassle that way, huh?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, I
guess. Right now, I just got to just talk to a Fleetmatic. I got to get some trackers in my truck. So, then that's the first guy I had on the road. I'm waiting to come back in now so I can put a tracker in the truck so that I and the shipper and the receiver all can know where he is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's smart. Be able to know where everything's going and how, if you're running on track, that sort of thing. Okay. And how much does that cost, something like that?
The monitoring system costs about, I can pay for it outright, and then it costs $25 a month to monitor.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad. But the insurance that it saves, because it cuts down your insurance costs and your shippers desire to use people who got tracking system versus people who don't.
Yeah, so they know where their order's at and when it's going to be there. Okay, no, right. That's sounds like that'll probably bring you in some more customers too that way, huh?
Well, I mean, I've moved freight in the last 6 months to about 28 to 30 different companies, so. And we got a good rating right now, no violations. So.
No, yeah, that's good. So you guys have been in business coming up on 12 years, right?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
You have? Okay. And alrighty. Well, how soon were you thinking you might need to get this truck?
Well, I wanted the truck last week. The guy been bugging me to drive for 3 weeks. And then, like I said, I just talked to Landstar today, a guy named Jay. I've got about 20 lanes right now that they need help on running.
Oh.
So 20 lanes means 20 different trucks to go somewhere. So I'm not trying to drive 20 trucks. I just want to get myself at least one more truck to put out here on the road because... UPS pays well.
Okay.
Yeah, Landstar, this is subcontracting from UPS through Landstar.
Oh, okay. So that's another contract in itself then.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already an approved carrier for Landstar. So now since I'm an approved carrier, I can get on the mailing list to do contracts with them to move freight and cargo for other larger companies.
Oh, how long have you been with Landstar?
I moved my first load for them last week.
Last week?
And, because, I have been with people like Skidmore, C.H. Robinson, Smack. There's a couple of others, because I got a list about 20. They're all on a paper at the house. But the way people like Landstar and TQL work is that you can have an agreement with them. But until you move your first load, you aren't actually considered a carrier.
Oh, so you can have the agreement, but you're not actually one of their carriers until you make the first run, then?
Right, like TQL. Well, okay. I got an agreement with them, but they haven't had any freight that was in areas where I was that might be moving, either going or coming back in places that my driver was going or where we were trying to go. So, I mean, we're still there, you know, as long as I got my insurance and my DOT is good, then all I got to do is say, okay, I take this load you got going somewhere, and then all of a sudden I'm an approved carrier, and then they got a free app that you can put on your phone to verify that, they can track you.
Oh, okay. That's pretty neat.
It's just a little catch-22 that you got to kind of understand and know how it works and the process.
No, yeah, it seems like you got it pretty figured out, though, sounds like.
Well, I'm paying for this learning.
Yeah, trial and error.
No money. I paid for this learning. You didn't. Yeah, I didn't have no school teachers. I paid for this one.
No, that's, it sounds like even more, brings you when you hit that, when you're making money and you're staying pretty steady, then probably a good feeling that way. But, alrighty, have you already looked into financing anywhere else, or have you talked to your bank?
No, and I quit really going to banks because I got some a couple of associates that works inside the banks. A couple of them shared with me some insider information that if the banks knew that I knew how they really dealt with people, some based on race, some based on gender, some based on whatever else, then they probably wouldn't like that. So for that reason, I could go into a lot of banks, and I just, for the most part, use a lot of my own cash doing things. It kind of puts me sometime in a tight, but...
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. You ever come across cash flow problems like that?
Sometimes, but I'd rather use my own cash and have a peace of mind than to have to jump through hoops to borrow money for somebody and then knowing I got to pay it back anyway, and you're going to make money on me. At the age of 58 right now, so I kind of have a mental attitude when a guy says, we can get you this, but then I got to produce both my legs, half an arm, my eye, and my grandmother's smile.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Mr. Moses, we really couldn't help you right now, but when give yourself another, 6 months, a year, whatever the time is, and come back to us and see what we can do. Well, see, right then, that already tells me right then, no, don't go back that direction.
No.
If I can find help when I really, really need help, and especially with my understanding of the system itself and my pre-planning of ability or skills as far as operations, even though I've been pocketing everything myself, then once I get up making more money, why would I need, what sense would it make for me to go back to them after that? It don't make no sense.
Yeah, how's that old saying go? When you need the money, no one's there to give it to you, but when you have all the money, everybody's calling and trying to give you more.
And so that's why I paid my house off. Well, when I was trying to pay my house off, nobody wanted to refinance my house. So finally, I just wrote a check, paid the cash. Now, after I paid the house off, then the VA called me and said, Mr. Moses, we want to refinance your home. Wait a minute. I tried to refinance my home. Nobody wanted to refinance my home, but now that it's paid for, you tell me we can refinance.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous.
I almost fell for that, and I thought about it. You know what? No, don't do that.
Yeah, smart. Well, at least you got it paid off, though. That's probably a big payment that you're able to pocket a little bit of money each month then. That makes it a little bit nicer. But yeah, no, I completely understand, Malcolm. We, you know, when 2008 happened, and kind of, you know, the larger banks made it a lot harder for to qualify for money for these small business owners like yourself. You know, we kind of really developed our business plan around that to make it easier for you to work with us. So, like, instead of you having to jump through all the hoops and, you know, give an arm and a leg, what we like to do is we like to jump through all the hoops for you, give you what we can offer you, and then you can pick and choose from there. But so I was going to ask too, since we're looking at equipment, you know, most of that's based off your credit. How would you rate yours, your personal credit there?
One place said my credit was like 640, and then somebody else said it was like 599. So I guess it depends on what city you're in and what credit bureau they like to go to.
Okay. No, of course, of course. Well, you know, if you're right around that, you know, that's national average. It's good. We should be able to find you an equipment approval. But also, we have a fallback plan. If not, we offer capital, working capital as well. So what we could do is we could get you set up on a, you know, a term to get the equipment if that doesn't work out. So we can fall back on that. So we do have a few options we can work with. But to begin, you know, I could shoot you over the application. It's
You already did.
Oh, you already have all that?
Yeah, you said all that to me already.
Okay.
I told you, that's what I was saying to him before, and you said, well, Mr. Moses, right now, just, we can't do anything for you. So that's why I want to know what was different now that made you, you know, want to come back to me, because, you know, there's a need us, you know, playing this game twice. Because, I mean, I got a plan, but it may not make sense to the bank. I've already got drivers that's on the road driving experience. There's freight ready to be moved.
Money to be made. I see that. You know, if we get you this truck, you're going to be able to turn around and, you said, make, you know, have it paid for in a year or so. So, I mean, it sounds like the work's there for you. You can make the money if you get it going, right?
Yeah, look. The United States, the transit is short 350,000 truck drivers.
Oh my goodness, that's a
that's a no-brainer. But anybody, but any good banker have it, that listen to me for at least 5 minutes. Understand? Look here, this guy may not have been in trucking himself for 100 years, but at least he understands how these things are supposed to work. What it is out there to make it work. And I didn't beg and borrow everybody to get what I got.
No.
We're going to charge 350,000 drivers. That says, look here, we need somebody who's dependable. Not only my driver. I got a drug consortium. I got policies. I got procedures. And I'm a veteran.
No, we'll get you set up here there. We'll, you know, I don't recall sending you the, you know, it doesn't look like we had gone through the whole process over here yet.
That's how I got your phone number.
Yeah, well, I sent you the email there, but if we want to, I'm sure we can take a look at this. We can get you set up somehow over here, either if it's going through the capital or going through the equipment financing route. But is a good email for you still warhellc@gmail.com?
Right. Yeah, your company name is Ziff or K-Ziff or something like that?
Cardiff.
Cardiff, yeah. I told you, look, I got your number directly off of your, at the very top right corner of your application.
Oh, okay. Well, perfect. If you want to fill that out then and shoot it my way back, you know, we'll get you some numbers here in the next couple of days and get you an approval.
Okay, and what I'll do is I'll send you an inclusion. I look at some of the freight lines I looked at, because you're going to be in business, you're going to be consistent. So I already looked at either it's going to be Freightliners, Max, or Volvo. And so right now I got Freightliner.
Okay.
And so rather than having, like, some guy get one Freightliner, one international, one Post Tire, no, whatever I do, I want to be uniform.
Of course. Of course, put that down here. Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'm going to, send you just another email again with the list of the stuff that we're going to need along with the application. It's just 6 months of your most recent bank statements and your most recent business tax return, so we can see the
application. Okay, well, now that's why I couldn't help y'all last time, because with me being left Capital One, because I got a bad check from a big company. They sent me a bad check for like $26,000.
Okay.
And so, come to find out, somebody was doing some crooked stuff. So anyway, I submitted all my paperwork to the bank. Well, they didn't bother me, but they shut down my bank account.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm with a bank. Yeah, so now I'm with a bank, and I ain't been there but about a month and a half, 2 months. So, yeah, that's where it was. I couldn't give y'all no 6 months of bank statements or 3 months of bank, whatever it was y'all was asking for. Yeah.
Oh, so you don't have, so right now you only have a couple months of your most recent then from the new bank you're at?
That's right.
And you, there's no way to get in contact with the old bank and say, hey, you know, I need to have access to my old statements from you guys. You can't, have you tried that?
I mean, I could go get, I mean, I think I may have it, but the point is, there's not a bank account anymore, because the fact of being given, and this will be a steel producing company, you know, but yeah.
Well, the reason we look at the bank statements is just so we can see, you know, how much money you have coming in and out of the business, and what your ending balances are looking like there, just in case we do fall back on the capital program. But it's not. It doesn't really matter that it's closed now, since you have one. Because you have the new one that's open. You said it's been open for a couple of months, right?
About a month and a half, thereabout.
Okay. Well, if just so we can see a consistent 6 months from you, if you can maybe just send me the last 2 months or what you have with your current bank, and then just get the additional 4 or 3 months banks from your old bank, that would be fine. We just got to see a full 6 months to kind of see your consistency.
All right.
You think you might be able to do that for me?
It won't be right now because I'm on the road and I got to go pick up some hay.
Oh, yeah, no worries. I will, I'll get you over a new email with the equipment application just so we make sure we have the right one. It'll include the list of the stuff we need, and like I said, it'll just be the bank statements and then your most recent tax return. That way we can just see your gross annual sales and, you know, ownership breakdown of the company. And I did forget to ask, what did you guys do in top-line revenue for your sales last year?
Let's see. Last year, I think I made a total of $74,000. But I shut it down because I wasn't certified. When I said certified, I didn't have DPE certifications or SDVUSB certifications, Hudson Initiative, all that kind of stuff. And then before that, the mill had me to retire. And so with my retirement payout, I think I end up like $100,000-some, but that was just from personal income. That wasn't from, you know, actual running the truck.
Oh, what was it for running the truck? Like all of your sales for the entire last year for 2015, even if it was like a ballpark.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know what it would be if I was running the truck, because running the truck has not been my primary thing, because...
Well, like, from all of your sales for Warhorse combined, everything you've done, what was, like, the top line of your receipts, your sales?
About 1 year, I think I made about $4,000 or $5,000 because I was doing hot shot, and then the other years. So for this year, I think we've topped out around, let's see, 4 months, about 30,000 to 40,000 so far.
Okay. Okay, as long as you have a ballpark there. But okay, yeah.
Because I had a guy who worked the pool for me, and so I paid him predominantly most of the money. On thing is now it's just a little bit different because I got rid of that truck and got my own truck.
Okay.
So like I said, thus far with this January, I tell you what I can do. I can call my company Pavestone, and that's going to give me a printout of what's all been produced from Warhorse Enterprise since we started back up.
Okay.
And what I can do is I can include that. See, that would be better than the bank statements. I can tell you that right now.
Okay, yeah. The reason we just look at the bank statements is we got to see, like, the deposits you're getting, when people pay you, how many times per month, all those kind of factors.
But see, that's what I'm saying. The way my company is set up is that I have a factoring company. You know what a factoring company is?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. My factoring company is Pavestone. And they would have a more valid thing because when you run transportation based on how you set up, I myself may not get paid for 30 days or 60 days based on how the other people pay. But Pavestone itself will pay, but I have my pay dispersed in different manners. So that's why it would be more effective for you all to just take, and I got all my paperwork from them that says that my authorized factoring agency to see what they're doing because their records have to be straight with the IRS too.
Okay. Yeah, no, yeah, that would probably work just as well. So if you could include that, just since they, you know, they're obviously aware of your payments and how everything that's going. If you could include that as well. But also, we still got to try to get those banks just because. But if we have both, that'll be a great picture. Help your case out. But yeah, any other questions for me before we get going on the process here?
No, I don't have no questions, man.
Okay, well, I'm sure we'll, either way, if we're going through the equipment financing program or the working capital, we should be able to get you set up somehow. I'm sure we can get you, have some option available. But lastly, what would you be hoping to pay, per month and, your term? What were you looking for there?
I'm looking at...
what would be ideal for you, best case scenario? What your wants would be. So, say we get you a $50,000 truck at best, or $45,000 divided on a 5-year term, you know, that's usually around $750 with no interest. No interest. So, you think that would be something you'd be able to afford there?
Wait a minute, say that again.
So, if you're looking at a $45,000 truck, you know, if we end up going that route, and over 60 months or so, 5 years, which would be our longest term, we can, it'd be roughly around $750 with no interest.
Okay, well.
So that's just, just to get you.
That would be pretty good, but, you know, I guess, as some folks say, stretch it out. As long as you can, but just pay it off earlier. So.
Oh, yeah, and we do offer early discounts for the payment there as well. So so if you do decide to pay it off early, we discount the interest, which will save you money in general. So, but alrighty, yeah, I will shoot over that email your way right now. I'll have the list of the stuff we need. So if you could check that out, let me know what's going on and get that stuff back to me, that'd be great.
All right, man.
When do you think... you might be able to get it over to me.
Well, I have to go home and see what I can dig through all this paperwork.
I appreciate that.
And call Sarah, ask her to send me everything in one email. All right.
All right, cool. Well, I'll shoot it over right now, and I'll be in touch maybe Wednesday afternoon if I don't hear anything back by then.
All right, man.
All right, have a good one.